Epilogue. Aftershocks. The black flame tattoo signified Mersina's first step forward within the Sisters of the Abyss. She'd gone from aspirant to acolyte while I'd still been recuperating under the watchful eyes of Morgana Zhao. It was a big step for both of us. Mercy had made her first vows of dedication to the Sisters, and in doing so, had sealed her life's path forward. The commitment allowed her greater personal freedom and a chance to train for her next assignment. In that, we were a lot alike. We both enjoyed the use of her collar, while I learned to ignore mine and fit in with all the other Sanctionites. My real name and backstory remained a secret from most, but I told Mersina and Delia Barmasset. The Sisters were in place to protect me, and I trusted their adherence to duty. Of the Proctors, only Bertram Chinasa knew. June Alicante had figured it out as well, leading to a hidden yet uncontrollable interest in my being. Commissar Belling would remain in the dark. My house had sacrificed plenty for the Emperor on Terra and Fulcrum IV, and I wouldn't allow him the satisfaction of knowing he'd abused a Killhaven. Speaking of abuse, I called a truce with Warmaster Horatio Balagem and began the true task of becoming a funnel. My first concern was building trust with the various arcs that filled Clan Balagem. There were three predominant destructive energies used to fight the enemies of mankind, each drawn from an arc of psykers. I was a natural with the bioelectric psykers, but still had a long way to go with the pyros and telekines. Fire was highly effective when inserted within a target and driven to expand, and the warp energy allowed it to sneak past any armor invented. The telekine's ability to catch and shield both matter and energy was a must whenever I was working with groups or within the semi-confined areas of Schola Psychana. The use of my funnel skills seemed to draw the others to me. It wasn't a compulsion as much as a euphoria. As I absorbed and amplified the other's energy within my mind, we all felt an unreal joining and a rightness of being. Another important skill was the polishing of my personal shield. Mersina and Delia took turns testing me during downtime at the Scola Plaza. During these midnight trysts, I finally got to feel the crack of Delia's whip. It had human teeth sewn into the business end, don't ask, and it stung most wickedly if she caught me off guard. The intricate bruises were something to show Mercy the following night. A little jealousy goes a long way in a relationship with an expiration date. Delia Barmasset had given us a blessing and an ultimatum. Mersina's assignment at Psychana would end on the same day as my graduation to Neonate. Neither one of us would feel left behind by the other. Delia wouldn't share the secret of Mercy's next posting, and the Imperial Guard wouldn't be divulging the gist of my coming apprenticeship. Our time together would end, and we had better get used to the truth before it bit us. I hoped that Mercy earned herself a null dampening necklace and caught on with an Inquisitor that knew how to leverage her ability. She was a black-clad angel worth more to the Emperor than I could ever pay. From an Imperial Guard standpoint, war zones were war zones. Unless one wrote the names of lost friends on ceilings, rocks, or bullets, I figured the places I would go didn't matter, but I'd be wrong about that too. My new reality had marked me. It would follow me everywhere and lay claim to whatever I touched. I'd modeled my auric shield after the impervious hide of the demon Hawn. Feeling satisfied with the scaled pattern and confident in its speed and strength, I made another request through Lexi Silk. Payment was required, and she accepted a ringside seat for the midnight demonstration. There wasn't any doubt she wanted something more, something warmer, but I expected that there would be plenty of heat and entertainment in the end. Delia planned the rendezvous, inviting Commissar Trasker Belling and his bolt pistol. Mercy remained on the far side of the plaza with a smirk on her face. It was Delia's night to train me, and besides, that was the safest place to stand while the Commissar and I dueled each other. I'd been keeping a low profile when it came to Belling. Being sane had its advantages. It kept me from another stint in the Medicaid ward and reminded me that these negotiations were long overdue. Commissar Belling, are you ready to give it another go?
What do you want, Silver?
I want to know what happened to you on Scipio 5. Belling frowned.
How would you know anything about that?
You think you've been safe living beneath the Sisters' barracks? You think that I haven't examined every nuance of your life, trying to find a reason why you should continue to live?
You're not my judge.
Well, that's what we're here to find out. I'll even let you go first. 6 wasn't enough before, but maybe 10 will do the trick.
You're one crazy feather, aren't you?
Belling knew the signs. He'd been responsible for putting down rabid troopers as they appeared among the ranks. He'd been a trigger-happy judge and executioner until one of the Astartes had seen enough to cut him off at the knees, literally. I'd left my arcs behind, but tucked into the shadows on my left, a group of Balagim Sanctionites had joined Lexi for the high-powered standoff. I shook my head at them. This was personal, and I didn't want their help. If things went poorly, they could always float my body home and lay me at the feet of Warmaster Horatio. The bark of a hellgun screamed across the plaza. Belling had cheated and come loaded for a bear. It was his mistake. I'd already tested out my barrier against the hot-shotted laser guns of the Adeptus Arbitus and come away clean. He fired a dozen shots in a determined yet entertaining fashion, lighting up my shield in a dazzling display. Like a beacon, it called for something more. My turn. Reaching into my pocket, I drew out a 75-caliber projectile, one matching the 6 he'd fired at me that cruel night. I'd been working with Jinx, learning some of his telekine skills. He was a genius when it came to using warp-augmented kinetic energy. Push, pull, spin, crush, block, lift, or punch. Like a magician, he could do them all at once and in interesting ways. I was into far simpler methods. I pointed the bullet at Belling and yelled, "Bang!" My shield reacted, punching the bullet outward with enough energy to cross the space between us in a blur. It split the cable on Belling's hellgun in two. His bolt pistol would have been a more satisfying target, but I had to work with the reality offered. A null bubble had the commissar completely covered, but I'd worked my magic at a distance and let mundane forces of inertia and momentum deliver the final effect. Belling's uncertain smile cut the strength of his reply by half.
"You missed."
To my left, a chorus of chuckles rattled the scene. Lexi Silk sauntered out of the night carrying a package. Special delivery. She handed me a 3-foot-long tube, planted a kiss on my cheek for good luck, and strolled back into the shadows. I may have watched her go, knowing that I was already in trouble for allowing that dubious sign of affection. I snapped open the parcel and slid out a man-portable missile launcher. "Commissar, I don't think I can miss with this. Do you?" Belling's smirk had fled for good.
"What? Where did you get that?"
"Imperial Guard Armory. Psychana City, Sector 5. Says it right here on the tracking stamp."
"What are you going to do with it?"
"You don't know how to use a missile launcher?"
"Of course I know, but some incredibly valuable young ladies are standing right behind me."
"You're right." I held out the weapon. There wasn't a safe place to aim it, so I left the safety in place. "Delia, please." Delia Bar-Masset strode across the plaza, keying on her null-limiting necklace. I admired her leather-clad form as she walked back and handed the missile launcher to Belling. Her whip was looped through her belt like a talisman of good luck.
"What am I supposed to do with this?"
he said. I'd picked the largest open area in Scola Psychana to avoid any collateral damage. My plan was simple. "Commissar, whatever you do, don't miss." He didn't. I'd starred in other videos, but this was the first one where I didn't land in the Medicaid or have a death certificate attached to the credits. Horatio Balagim might have gotten the bigger cheer, but Commissar Trasker Belling finally learned whose side he was on. Like the teeth in Delia's whip, the truth in our realities couldn't have stung him any harder than it did. The noble houses of Kilhaven had their feet planted in numerous hive worlds, fulfilling a duty to the Imperial cult and the citizens of the Imperium of Mankind. According to Imperial law, the separation of worlds demanded that each local house exist as an independent entity and barred any formal partnerships, debts, or claims by a familial branch from another planet. Furthermore, while there were Kilhaven clans scattered throughout the galaxy, there was only one from the Imperium's home planet of Terra. That alone earned Lady Tora Kilhaven an escort into the overhive of Hydra Primus and a greeting from the governor of the planet's largest hive cluster. Governor Davith Lachlan oversaw a domain of more than 1 billion souls and still felt outranked by the noblewoman and her son Trace.
"Lady Kilhaven, it is an honor. Welcome to Fulcrum 4.
For Lady Tara Kilhaven, the trip beyond the well-traveled pathways of the galaxy was a test and an obligation to her soul.
"Governor, thank you for seeing me on such short notice. We have a few important visits to make in the Hydra Cluster, and I would be remiss if I didn't have your blessing for our personal crusade."
Lady Kilhaven, how can I smooth your way forward?
An epic clerical mistake has been made concerning House Kilhaven. It was brought to my attention by the Adeptus Administratum on Terra, and I plan to rectify it before we return home.
Governor Lachlan oversaw the state of every house in his cluster.
House Kilhaven is a staunch defender of the planet and a proud adherent to their role as overseer of the PDF. The recent loss of their two oldest sons was a tremendous blow to the family.
Tora only knew of one troubled son.
Please tell me more.
Their oldest took a commission in the founding of the Fulcrum 10th Legion. He shipped out 5 months ago, shortly after the untimely death of his younger brother. While we all pray for Captain Kilhaven's safe return, the 10-year contract favors a far darker outcome.
Then it seems this is a timely visit.
Tora presented the governor with a scroll, a death certificate newly amended.
And one we will have to handle with the utmost discretion and care.
The mark of the Inquisition caught the governor's eye. His intuition concerning his place in things had been correct.
Most certainly. We should begin with General Kilhaven and Lord Rayner, the overseer of our Adeptus Arbitus. They are rivals and we'll be doing them a favor by informing them both at the same time.
Lord Governor, as reasonable as that sounds, I have a better idea.